I am recording.
I am recording.
No, you're not, you bitch.
Well, all right.
This week's episode is brought to you by Easy Content.
That's right.
Because when your favorite artist releases two albums in 2 weeks, you know you got 2 weeks of content.
Ba-ba-bow.
Shit pants twins.
Me top.
Hashtag me top. This podcast isn't good. Hashtag canceled.
Yeah.
Let's do
Don't
this.
You forget it.
Hello, welcome to the Hodge Podcast, the official podcast of CountryHodgePodge.com. I'm your host, Steve Hodge, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, cousin, and lover, Kevin Hodge.
Yeet.
This week, we're going to be talking about, yet again, another Cody Jinx album.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah. But before we get into that, let's talk about a new album coming out soon that I am super excited for, and I know Kevin is excited for as well. Wade Bowen is releasing a Christmas album, so...
to go and be so excited, and then all of a sudden, so disappointed... In the span of a second and a half, so many emotions.
So for those listening, I purposely didn't tell Kevin what my rant was going to be about because I wanted to see that exact reaction.
It was basically like, you remember the Fail Mary with the Packers-Seahawks game where one guy called touchdown and the other guy called interception? That's basically what I did. I was like, touchdown? Oh, fuck.
But yeah, there's not much to say. It's just another fucking album where he's going to cover a bunch of Christmas songs again and la-di-da.
I wonder if I'll get to hear insert random country for fucking Christmas song name that it's been...
Well, he's already... He didn't do an album, but he did release, like... I'm pretty sure he released Silver Bells once, and he did have
Is that an original?
He did have... Yeah, he did have that one song... I think it's called, like, Cold in December. It's an original. He just released it last December. I can't remember what it's called exactly. It was actually a really good song. I don't think it was even a Christmas song, technically. Let me see.
See, I'm okay with that kind of idea, where it's not like, I don't know, just saying the same shit about Christmas that everyone says every single year.
Yeah, I know. I agree. Let me see. What is that song called? It was called... Nope. Where is it? You fucker. Where you at, fucker? Cold. It's just Cold December is what it was called.
Oh, you dumb fucker.
Oh, you dumb fucker. He did have Merry Christmas Baby as a single. And then he had Oh Holy Night as a single.
Baby!
Exactly. America. But yeah, so he's releasing a Christmas album. Lottie fucking da. Moving on.
So disappointing. Man. It's just all out of it now. I was so excited. I was like, oh shit, new Wade Bowen album. Oh. Cool. Thanks, bro.
Yeah, I don't... I'm sure he'll have... It's going to be like one of those where it's like 12 tracks and it'll be like 7 covers of old Christmas songs and 5 like originals. If I can at least get like that... Like Casey Musgrave's Christmas album had a lot of originals on it that were pretty good. And if I can get that, I'll be happy. But I don't care about hearing Silver Bells for the 50th time.
Are you sure? There's apparently a whole fucking... world full of people that are just like, you know what, I have not heard too many times.
Well, you know what?
It's Silver Bells.
Unlike you, I like Christmas music, but yes, I agree that the having to get your generic Christmas album out there, it's a thing that I don't need. But, yeah, I'll just listen to the Bing Crosby and the fucking Michael Bubbles. Anyway, moving on. So last week, Cody Jinx released yet another fucking album because he's awesome and... He should release one this Friday, too, because that'd be cool.
That'd be hilarious. Just like, you thought it was only two?
Exactly. That'd be dope. But no, so he released The Wanting this week, which has the cool album cover of The White and the Black Wolf, which he mentions in one of his songs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great. So first up is the track...
I really like it.
Yes. I don't know if you had anything else to add to that. But first...
No, I mean, we're going to go through it, so I figured, yeah, we'll get there.
So first up is the track written by him and Tennessee Jet, The Wanting.
The Wanting. Yeah, so this, you know, this album was, like we've just said, you know, released a week after a previous album. So it's kind of like, you know, a little bit of a surprise release, a little bit of a double album kind of thing. But I just think it's really cool because it's both albums are, you know, the previous album's only 9 songs plus an instrumental, so 10 total songs. This one's 12. So it's like you're not getting at least, you know, we'll talk about each song, obviously, starting with this one. But it's not a case, in my mind at least, where it's one of those where someone releases a double album, but you literally only get, like, an album's worth of songs that you care to listen to.
Yeah.
I really like both of these as just as albums, and they kind of have a different feel to them. They're both very introspective, but sonically, I feel like they do fit together as separate, you know, separate albums. And so then starting with The Wanting, it's just another entry into the repertoire of just a really, like, a really well-written song that has sadness to it and just is really cool. I love the idea of, like, you know, he talks about how he's, you know, trying to get over this person, but all, like, he still just wants them. And so, like, he says, like, you know, like the stinging or the burning of a slowly turning knife, like, that just is like some grade A fucking songwriting.
Yeah.
And then just the whole idea that he's just like, I may never live this feeling down, you know, he's just not sure what the future's gonna be, and then you're just like, I can't want you anymore. Just like, the only way I'm gonna get over this is just to fucking stop, but I don't know how. And I dig it. Yeah. I really do.
See, the thing with these two albums, I think this one is more of like the country album where it's just songs about kind of stories and feelings and all that. But the first one to me felt like that one was written for his family. Like that one was like his own personal journal, whereas this one is more of like a song released for everyone.
Yes, but and we'll get to some of the other songs that are on this album that I feel like kind of mix with, you know, they would have made sense on After the Fire, especially in the vein that you've just described. But I do agree that it does, you know, I'd almost even say that there's a lot more songs on this one that are kind of more, you know, not, certainly not, you know, modern day mainstream fucking commercially sounding country. But he's got some songs on here that kind of sound more approachable for a non-hardcore country fan. Like, he's got a little bit more going on, a little more upbeat sound to that.
Well, even this one, The Wanting, where it has that, like, whoa, whoa.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think that's the Tennessee Jet feeling in there, though. But yeah,
sure.
It's
fantastic. Sure. Yep.
Moving on to number 2 is The Same Kind of Crazy as Me. I think this is one that you're kind of talking about with the kind of the approachability, because it's definitely one of those like rednecks like me type, like, are all the people out there who are just like me kind of thing. And
yep, I really love this song, because honestly the second chunk has some of my favorite lines, where he says, you know, there's more colors than red and blue to paint the elephant in the room. You know, obviously talking about the modern state of just division everywhere in politics and fucking everything.
Yeah.
And then he's just like, you know, we piss and moan about that and this, always another ass to kiss. But I believe that freedom rings. I believe the songs we sing. It's just like, I really, like you said, it's kind of, you know, a bit of that anthem to the country crowd, but at the same time he's kind of saying, he's like, you know, I'm just doing my own thing, this is how I feel, and in the end I believe that, you know, when I die, you know, if I'm right, God, and, you know, is just the same kind of crazy that I am, and there's people out there that are the same kind of crazy as I am, and I really dig it.
Exactly. Moving on to Numero Tres is Never Alone, Always Lonely. I almost fucked it up. I did fuck it up. Anyway.
Yeah.
This one's written by him and his wife. Last one was Ward Davis and Greg Jones, but yeah. This one I do love. It's that whole, it's like that alone in a crowded room type feeling song, but yeah, I just...
Yeah, I absolutely love it. And this is one that kind of feels like it could have fit on After the Fire, because it's all about this, you know, being on the road, feeling lonely, not actually being lonely, but feeling it,
yeah.
You know, not actually being alone, but feeling very alone.
Yeah.
I really like it as an introspective kind of thought process and is just super great. And I love that he wrote it with his wife. It's
even
kind of neat.
Yeah. Even better than the, I love the, obviously the line, never alone, always lonely is, I love the lyric even better. Easy to find, seldom seen. I think that's such a cool line. It's so cool. Like how you're there,
yes.
But you're not, that people aren't seeing you there actually. Yeah. I love that lyric. It's
yeah.
It's
I really, really like this song. I really, really do.
Yeah.
Not that I don't like really anything he's ever released.
Yeah. I don't think there's a song by him I don't like. So yeah, that makes sense. But next up is Four. This is a song about my ex-girlfriend from college, Whiskey.
Dick? What?
Whiskey Dick. Yes. This one was actually not written by him. It was Casper Rick Wade and Jamie Richards. Jamie Richards, he has that awesome song, I'll Have Another.
Yes.
If I can't hear of her, I'll have another, whatever that lyric, that song is.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Yes.
I do dig this song. I think it's fine. I feel like I kind of would have this be like the weakest on the album.
Yeah, honestly, until I clicked on it, I forgot about it.
Yeah, it's just, you know, because it's one of those songs that seems it's a bit stereotypical when it comes to the country realm of just song about whiskey. And then, you know, like, you know, the chorus is saying, come tomorrow, I'll probably buy some more Black Label Evan Williams from the liquor store, back to the bar till my drinking's done. Whiskey, won't you help me make it through this one? You know, the classic heartbeat, turn to whiskey, drink yourself, you know, drink the pain away kind of thing. It's fine because Cody Jinks is obviously an incredible singer.
Yeah.
But it is one of them that I'm kind of like, there's a lot of other really powerful songs on this album and on After the Fire that I'm kind of like, yeah, no, this one's kind of a skipper, but still, you know, still perfectly fine as a song.
Yeah. Still a great song. It's just, yeah, it definitely is. It steps into the cliche a little bit.
Yes.
But yeah.
Especially mixed among all these really introspective songs.
Yeah, like this next one, where even angels fear to fly.
This is such a cool, like again, we keep, you know, mentioning, like, I really like this line, I really like this line, but I really, really like so many of these lines, you know, the bit of the chorus where he says, you know, he's basically talking about how he's made mistakes and, you know, has regrets and all that good stuff. But the way that he has it where he says, but I've never been afraid to spread broken wings in skies where even angels fear to fly. Like, that's just a really cool, it's a really cool way to say, you know, and put a twist on the idea of like the off the beaten path or straight and narrow and all that shit. Like, it's just a really interesting way. And, you know, and he's acknowledging, you know, he's acknowledging regrets. He's acknowledging kind of a different, you know, path that he's followed, but also in a sense of like, he hasn't been afraid to do things differently. Some of it doesn't necessarily have such a negative connotation with it. I think it's just really, really cool.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Fucking A right.
Moving on. The next song, track number 6, is written by Jada Dreyer and Josh Morningstar, who is awesome. Which one feed?
Yeah, this one's dope sauce. I, you know, this is basically the, you know, the cover animal, you know. And so just the idea of, you know, there's a black and a white wolf in me, and I live and I die by which one I feed. And so he's just constantly throughout this whole song showing these opposites that he has both going on. And so basically saying, like, the whole thing kind of comes down to there's a light path, a goodness path, and there's like a darkness / evil / self-destructive path. And just basically, like, I've got all of this within me, and so it just kind of matters which one, you know, which one I feed, and like the feed through, you know, actions and thoughts and all that good stuff. And so it's just a super cool concept, especially with the badass album cover. It's just like, yeah, this is awesome. Big fan.
Yeah. Well, also, it's also, you can tell it's definitely autobiographical about Josh Morningstar, because recently on his Instagram, he posted how he was like 9 years sober from heroin or whatever it was.
Yes.
Yeah. So, like, you can tell that that's a thing of, like, he's been fighting these demons his whole life, and it's like, which path am I going to go down? So it's definitely a Josh Morningstar song, and it's, yeah, it's perfect. Yes, in that way.
Absolutely. Especially like you just brought up is a perfect thing to think about. Like, you know, all the imagery about like fighting and war inside, like that's exactly what I'd imagine a guy who struggled with addiction like that would have.
And
you know, would have gone through.
And yeah, and I love it because Josh Morningstar is such an amazing songwriter, but obviously, no offense to him, Cody Jinks has the better voice, and having his voice get put to this song, it makes it that much
it's
better.
It's a great match made in heaven kind of situation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, I do love Josh Morningstar songs and you should listen to them, but
oh, absolutely.
Yeah. But next up is number 7, songs by Cody Jinks and his wife Rebecca. A bite of something sweet.
Yeah, this is I really dig the that choice of I don't know if it's technically if you call it metaphor is it or just narrative device or whatever the fuck, but the, you know, talking about how his soul is craving something and he wants this bite of something sweet, this something, you know, old and good and from, you know, from the past, you know, the idea he's saying like, I need to lie down and rest for a while. I need a sunny day, but clouds are more my style. My soul hungers for something more than I can eat. Give me a new day and a bite of something sweet. I just really, it's almost like, it seems almost like poetic, like it would just be written out rather than sung. And I just, I like it a lot.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I don't have too much to add to this. I just think it's one of those that's very, like, if you were just to read it as a poem, it would make just as much sense
exactly.
as a song.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Moving on to number 8, another Josh Morningstar song, The Plea.
Yeah, and this is for sure where you can see, you know, in the mind of Josh Morningstar, a person who's battled with addiction, just kind of, you know, oh, like he's almost like he's reached either like a breaking point or a crossroads or something. He's just kind of like, this shit's gonna kill me. You know, this shit's, you know, hard. You know, and just kind of like, you know, it's called The Plea, and it basically is him going from saying like asking his mom for help, essentially saying, you know, apologizing to his woman, saying that he wishes he could be better to them, you know, asking the Lord to protect him, asking Jesus to save him. Like, it's a really, you know, I mean, it's a plea. It's called The Plea. It's a plea. It's really cool.
Yeah. I mean, obviously I've never been a touring artist, but even just the lyrics of like, just protect me from these demons that are pretty much in my own head. It's such a thing that even I've been through, I'm sure you've been through, everyone's been through, and yeah, it's such a, yeah, I can't say it enough how many times, enough times how great of a lyricist, songwriter Josh Morningstar is, and everyone should listen to his stuff.
Seriously.
Number 9 is a song written by Cody Jinks, and again, that Mr. Morningstar is It Don't Rain in California. It's just a statement.
It doesn't, and it's not fair, and that's why they don't deserve to have sports championships, because it's nice out all the time.
I was trying to think, there was another song that came out recently about it not raining in California. What was that? It was an artist that we listened to. Who the fuck sang it?
I know. Shit.
Why can't I think
was
of
it a was it a John Party song, because he always is talking about California?
No.
I can like hear it in my brain, but I don't know what it is. But I do I like this song because it's like him talking about how like the lady person, you know, love interest, whatever, you know, goes to California, and he's just like, it's not going to take her long to figure out. It's just like way nicer there. But then it turns into even more just like the being away from him is nicer. And so then when he says that he goes to California and then it's raining and he's just like, oh, I brought the down with me. You know, the thunder and lightning seem to follow me around. And it's just, you know, it seems to me like it's a coming to terms with a breakup or something along those lines.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have anything else to add to that one. Number 10 is a song written by Clint Park, who is, the one who opened for Ward when we went and saw him. Cody Jinks, Greg Jones, and Ward Davis is Wounded Mind.
I think this might be my favorite from this album. I love the, and this is another one that I think could have fit on after the fire because of the idea of it, where he's basically talking about, you know, yeah, I've ascended to this level of fame and success where there's people that are always, you know, interested in talking to me, and this song kind of is him, you know, grappling with the idea of him standing for something to mm-hmm. so many, and this, it's, you know, and it's real, like there's so many people like me who are like, this guy stands for the entire idea of modern country music being what country music is, and kind of like carrying this torch forward and like all the burdens that go with that. So then to have him be like, you know, really all I want to do is just tell people that I'm not that special, leave me the hell alone, I don't want to try to be cool all the time, I'm just a guy with a wounded mind. It's such a cool song, especially knowing that he's saying this to so many people that basically hold him up as this thing.
And
he's
put just him on that, like, pedestal, yeah.
Exactly. And I think it's just a really cool decision to put it on an album, and it's a really cool song.
Oh, yeah. Next up is number 11, written by Chris Hennessy. Like Tennessee!
Tennessee, like Tennessee!
Is a Ramble. I'm pretty sure this was actually on Chris Hennessy's last album, because I think it was actually called Ramble. I could be wrong.
Nice.
But, yeah, Chris Hennessy is absolutely fan-fucking-tastic, so...
Yeah, I dig this song. It's kind of one of those where it's a lot of lines about this, the idea of just kind of, you know, freedom and going out there, just kind of setting your own path and whatever. And so it's just a... It's an interesting song. I do really like the chorus where he's just saying, like, ramble when the world gives you more than you can handle. So basically just like, I mean, not just fucking run away from everything, but in the sense just kind of fucking start moving and get away from things and you can clear your head kind of idea.
Yeah, I looked it up. Yeah, it was the title of his album, and it featured Alison Krauss on the song.
Oh,
and
damn.
So yeah, this is a cover of that, and yeah, it's fantastic. But yeah, it's a great song, and Chris Hennessy's great, and you should listen to him, and Hennessy like Tennessee.
Hennessy like Tennessee.
Anyway, lastly, hell but not yeah. leastly, is track number 12, written by Cody Jinks and Mr. Tennessee Jet, is The Raven and the Dove.
So this is pretty neat, because I just noticed the little blurb that they have down there that Tennessee Jet saying that he says, you know, proudest co-write I've ever been a part of stemmed from the fact that Cody has a tattoo of a raven on one hand and a dove on the other. I got to asking him what those represent, and the song wrote itself pretty quickly. It's just a cool, and so like obviously the raven, you know, symbolizes all sorts of, you know, death and darkness and all that shit, and the dove is the, you know, the pure white life, afterlife, heaven, all that good shit. So it's a little bit of the same kind of feeling of the which one I feed, where it's, you know, the good and the bad, you know, juxtaposed and all that good shit.
Kind of want to get a raven and yeah. a dove tattoo now.
Nice. I mean, it's pretty fucking dope, I'm not gonna lie.
Not on my hands, but
I really like it. But I mean, like, you the whole thing kind of does come together. Like he's saying, you know, some days a raven, some days a dove, some days the dark cloud hanging round, others the light above. I'm scuffed by the devil, but I'm washed in the blood. So like, it's the good, evil, God, devil, back and forth.
This is
all that good
this
shit.
Is actually,
duality of man, you know.
This is actually my favorite by far. I can say it very confidently from this one. I also love this one because obviously not to for those traditionalists out there who would hate me saying this, it reminds me of Eric Church's
is this Eric Church?
Living Part of Life. It's very porch picking type sound to me is what this sounds like. Mm. Sounds like. It's that very live one take sounding song that's just being picked or played on a porch or, you know, just kind of in a room together. It doesn't sound too studio production. It just sounds very simple to me, and I really love it for that, obviously on top of the amazing lyrics with it, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. It really is. But the, yeah, I mean, yeah, nailed it.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah, so this is definitely my favorite from the track. Last track on the album. Yes, it's amazing. Next week is going to be his third album of the month, so get ready for that. No.
Yeah, it's not called The Wanting, it's not called The Needing, it's called The Could Be Fine If Happened-ing.
Exactly. but anyway, moving on to our newest, even though it's not that new anymore, we've been doing it for a few months, but the number one country song of the week, but not from this year, because this year is terrible. This year, or week, we're jumping back to the year 1984, where for 1 week on October 27th, the number one song was a song by this little band named Alabama called If You're Gonna Play in Texas, You Gotta Have a Fiddle in the Band.
Most notably known for their
$5 concert
residency at the King County Fair.
Where the tickets were like $5 at the King County Fair. Remember when it's on Alabama for $10 at the King County Fair? But If You're Gonna Play in Texas, I love this one. It's definitely one that most people who listen to any bit of country would know. It's the obviously the thing of you can't play in Texas if you don't have a fiddle in that band, because fuck you, Gumby.
Yeah, no, I love this song. It's the first Alabama song I'm pretty sure I ever heard. Probably shortly after being told about how my dad went and saw them at the Kane County Fair for $5. But, I mean, Alabama's great. They're legendary. The song's great.
Alabama
But it just made me think of, I saw on the Twitters the other day that someone had a, I wish I could remember who it was so I could give them a shout out if it was someone that would want a shout out. But someone had a, their Twitter heading picture was the Spice Girls. And, like, you know, they have the song, the, you know, if you want to be something.
Do you want to be my lover?
Be my friend. Yeah.
My
so it said, if you want to be my lover, you got to have a fiddle in the band.
That's great. That's really great.
And it made me laugh.
That's really great. But no, yeah, Alabama was definitely one of the first ones I listened to because obviously, I mean, my dad is your brother, or not your brother, your dad's brother. So
your dad is my brother.
You're my uncle, Kevin.
Let's just make it even more confusing to anyone who's ever listened and has no idea quite the situation.
Exactly. But yeah, so obviously both our dads are Alabama fans, so I started listening. I had obviously heard it all my life. My dad's always listened to Jimmy Buffett and the Eagles and stuff like that. So
fuck yeah, Jimmy Buffett's great.
Always heard that. Jimmy Buffett is frat boy garbage, age burger paradise.
Hard disagree,
no,
sir.
I know. I just like saying that every time you mention him because it just reminds me of that South Park episode.
No, it is pretty fucking funny.
But
it is frat boy garbage.
But no, yeah, Alabama was definitely one of the first ones I really got into when I started listening to country a lot my senior year of high school. So I've been listening to country for about 10 years religiously now. Before that, it was just kind of what I heard. This was definitely one of the first ones that I really got into when it comes to country music, and I do love this song.
Oh, it's a jam.
So
it is a jam.
Outside of Cody Jinx's The Stranger, I did not
play something from The Stranger.
I forgot to look up the albums from last week, so we'll just go over that when we do the best of in 2 weeks.
Yeah. We will.
We're not going to have
stuff.
Hi, Blue. We're not going to have an episode next week because it's the end of the month and both of us are extremely busy at work now. So
yeah, no, the end of the month is super busy for Steve. The fourth quarter, as the business people call it, is very busy for me. And so it's a perfect storm of both of us being busy as shit.
Yeah. We're still going to find time to do Unbearable because that's literally just a half hour of us talking about football, which we do all the time anyway. So we're still going to do that one and put that one up next week. If you want
to
listen
to us.
I'm going
to have to talk about how the Bears lost to the Chargers. So everyone's going to have to hear me sit there committing what's the Japanese sword in the stomach.
Seppuku or seppuku?
Seppuku, that's what it is.
Sudoku? I don't remember.
So yes, let me commit Sudoku on myself.
You already have a three in that row, Kevin.
I need another three.
Anyway, but yeah, so we'll be back in 2 weeks. But yes, next, if you can't go a week without hearing our beautiful voices, you can listen to Unbearable next week to hear us cry about how the Bears are probably going to be 3-4 and letting us down.
And just a massive disappoint.
Exactly. But for now, you can find us at CountryHodgePodge.com, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, Country Hodgepodge. Spotify, the Hodgepodgecast Picks, where we upload the songs we talk about, but we haven't done that in a while because we haven't really done an artist in a while. We just kind of do these albums. Kevin's Picks of the Week, you can find that on the website. He tweets it out. It's also, if you search the username Donkey Factory on Spotify, you can find it, one word.
Donkey!
And then This Month in Country, where I add all the albums that come out this month until we talk about it. Then they go to 2019 in Country, where you could listen to every single album that's come out this year that's good, and there's a lot on there already.
You
could buy one of our dumb shirts on the site. I'm very pissed they took off my Cubs one, even though it never mentions the Cubs on it, so I don't know how they have the rights to that. And then
they don't sound like they're gelling.
Yeah, it's bullshit. It literally, it just has the number 108 and then the four Chicago stars. Like, that is not a copyrighted design.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and they didn't give me any chance to rebut it, so it's just gone forever now, which really pisses me off, because that was actually one of my better
selling shirts. Couldn't rebut it, but could you butt it?
Well, yeah.
Cigarette. Did you butt it first?
I'm a smoker. Smokers are jokers.
Butt out.
But you could be just like us. I need to watch that episode now. It's so funny.
That was so funny.
Anyway. Kevin's on Twitter at CHP_charge, where he just yells about how much the Bears are getting screwed over and how much the refs love the Packers.
Yeah, it's been bad. It's been bad.
Yeah. Please rate and review the podcast on iTunes. We're also on SoundCloud, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, of course. Which is iTunes. I guess I should change that, because it's actually technically called Apple Podcasts, not iTunes. But anyway, this week. Until next week, we might do a Sam Hunt episode next week just to fill time. So until next episode, I'm Steve Hodge. As always, joined by Kevin Hodge, saying goodbye, good night, and good shark.
I got a book.